St. Pete Life Magazine is a partner of Radio St. Pete. And by that I mean that the delightful executive editor, Nick Steele, and the delightful publisher, Beth Ann Drake, let us talk about Radio St. Pete, and we thank them for that. But even better, the Man of Steel is here himself. Nick Steele, welcome to Radio St. Pete, and we want to hear all about the new issue of St. Pete Life, May, June 2025.
Well, thank you for having us.
What a cover, what a cover, what a cover. Tell us how you got the gronk and what this issue is about.
Okay, so this issue is titled Our Best Life Issue. It kind of started out as more of a wellness and health and wellness sort of exploration, but the bucket of wellness has gotten so muddy that I really wanted to do something that was a little more about embracing the time we're in right now and the turmoil a lot of people are facing and the things that they're dealing with. And some of that is mental health. Some of that is physical stuff. Some of that is just turmoil over the political landscape or the changing world that we're experiencing. But Gronk was a really fun get in the sense that I was working on the issue. And, you know, the celebrities are always a tricky part of the equation because it has to be the timing is right. And they have a few minutes in their schedule to do these things. And they have to have a real interest in wanting to do it because, you know, we're not Esquire magazine or Vogue or, you know, one of those where they're going to get, you know, an enormous reaction to what they're doing. But it is enormous within the community, and we really feel it, and we really feel so appreciative they take the time. First of all, I do love the cover myself because I think it's such a fun, we're heading into summer, and he's such a fun personality. That was one of the things that in meeting him and chatting with him, he's a really happy guy. I mean, and I think that's in the article I mentioned, it's kind of in stark comparison to a few years back before he actually came to play in Tampa Bay. You know, I watched a video of him really emotionally talking about how he felt so beat up and abused by the sport of football and he couldn't do it anymore and he wanted to retire. And then he came back and had a victorious, you know, couple of years here in Tampa Bay, and he loves to be here. He spends a ton of time here. His mom lives in the area. He just opened a restaurant here in St. Pete called Green Lane. It's a fast casual. It's a drive-through, healthy, you know, and he's super proud of that. He just had made this huge donation to the Tampa Bay Resiliency Fund, which, you know, someone else might say, and I've had people say, you know, like, is that really a big deal? You know, they're millionaires, these people. But it is, because it keeps the attention focused on the fact that we are still building back. So many people I've talked to in the last couple of months are just getting their money from what happened to their homes or what happened to, in order to start to build back. They're just getting the support they were looking for. They're not even getting back into their homes, a lot of them. But so yes, it keeps it in the forefront of our minds. It keeps it in the forefront of the national conversation. And I was just delighted to spend time with him. He's really a funny guy.
How many clothing changes did he have to do before you got the cover, Nick? Do tell.
Oh, no. It's all seamless. It all happens like magic, Nanette. You know that. I can't tell. It's like the wizard behind the curtain. You don't tell any of those.
Man of Steel. You know, first of all, you're an incredible interviewer. There's so many great little just bon mots. I love doing jigsaw puzzles has become an important part of his wellness routine. I mean, just the little things that we find out that we have never heard before. Are you Barbara Walters and do a lot of research ahead of time? What drives a fantastic interview? Share that with our audience, please.
You know, I'm not Barbara Walters, and I will tell you, I always thought Barbara had a little bit of a knife in the side when she did an interview. Like, she always went for people a little bit. I don't do that. I have to really want to be invested in being in that room with them to want to tell their story in the most honest way possible. Now, if they have a knife in the side for me, I'm happy to write about it. But most of these people, you're meeting them and they're extraordinary. You know, like I say, he's a happy, happy guy. He just wants to share, and he's like a kid at heart. And, you know, and he's doing all this fantastic stuff with this Children's Foundation. That's all he wanted to talk about was playgrounds and, you know, being with the kids. And you see him here, you know, coming through the tunnel on the playground. I mean, he's a fun guy. So for me, I always say you get a small window into their world because you don't really know what they're like. But I go in fully engaged, wanting to have a great experience, and that's what I hope to come out with.
Well, we feel that when you come to Radio St. Pete Studio. And folks, if you want to know more about what the Gronk is doing, GronkNationYouth.org. Tell us another story that you had in this issue that that you wanted to talk about.
Well, I'll tell you one thing, that you contributed a story this issue, not just your Radio St. Pete column, but about mixing it up and finding ways to, you know, spice up your fitness routine, which was such a fun piece because I learned a lot, and there's a couple of places I want to go and visit. I'd heard about Vertical Ventures, for instance, from different people, and I thought, wow, this is really great. But then the dance Pip Expressions, the dance studio, I thought, that's a fantastic place to want to go and check out as well.
So you want to go belly dancing with me?
Sure. I mean, I got a lot of belly to dance, but but what I loved about it is, so what Gronk talks about, and what I think is really trending in the rest of the world, but it's so inherent for us here, is experiential wellness, you know, getting out, playing group team things. You know, we talk about that in the issue as well, but doing things that are not just like being in a gym and pumping iron or running on a treadmill or even just running outside. I mean, as great as that is, and he says, you know, the minute he steps outside, just the air and the vibe and everything is what really makes him feel great. And I went to the Muse Awards last night, the St. Pete Arts Alliance, and again, the energy in that room and the conversations that were being had about the community and how people feel transformed by it. And it's not just the weather. It's what we've talked about before, the spirit of collaboration, the spirit of supporting the arts in such a vibrant way. It's exciting, you know. So I love that dance is one of those things that we get to talk about this time. And so thank you for that article.
Well, thank you. And I can't wait to do aerial yoga with my producer, Anna Hummel, who is in and of herself an amazing athlete. I loved Hanging Happiness, and I love this guy. Talk to us about this great story.
So Gary King is this amazing guy who... his story is born out of a tragedy of losing his son, but he decided he wanted to turn that into a narrative for the community, and he created with his own money, and he's been doing this for years. He has over 600 signs hanging around St. Pete and Gulfport. He created those beautiful white and red happiness signs, he just started going out and hanging them wherever, you know, illegally as it is, you know, hanging them on telephone poles, hanging them on the side of buildings, doing whatever. And now the community really has embraced it in such a robust way. And he travels around the world and he lectures and talks, and it's become they're making a documentary about it now.
They are?
Yeah. It's in the article. It's right at the end. It mentions that there's going to be a documentary out, and we've been posting about it. So keep your eye peeled for that. Well, maybe we'll be able to review it when it comes out. But so he's turning 80 in June, and he said he's going to live for another 15 years, and he's going to have as much fun as he can while he's here. And what a great guy.
So before we go on to the next story, you do a lot of wandering. I love that, you're always not just going to events, but you wander the streets.
Yeah,
talk to the audience a little bit about your, what I call your ambassador program, Street to the Feet.
Well, I guess what's inherently sort of goes hand in hand with that is I'm a sort of car-free person. I do rent a car occasionally when I need one, but I spend most of my time walking or on my bike going places because I was always in an urban setting, New York, D.C., London, and I loved that, and we had great public transportation in all those places, so it really wasn't a hardship. And here, what it allows me to do is, one of the things I always feel like I'm in deficit trading with is I don't know the community in and out. I have passed a million times the same storefront, but maybe not gone in and thought, I gotta go in next time. And so that's why I do try and make myself go in. Even if it's a women's clothing store, I go in and I look around and they sort of will raise an eyebrow and think like, what's this dude doing in here? And
who's that handsome man?
No, they're not saying
that. Who's that handsome man? I have often walked down these streets before.
But you have all these incredible one-on-one conversations that lead to the next piece of your thinking. For me as an editor, it's really important. And putting this issue together, I wanted first-person stories. We'll talk about Anna in a minute, because the story that resulted from talking with Anna at your party here at Thrive was just, we started up a chat and she said, yeah, I lost my job. And I thought, wow, that's a great story. And she was willing to go on that journey. And there's a bunch of folks in here. So the next guy in the lineup would be Adam Peters, who he did this thing during COVID where he felt very locked in, and he wanted to create a community space in his yard where neighbors could come and just hang out and talk and, you know, and interchange. And he'd leave these hand-painted rocks that people could take, and there were books people could write notes in, and the notes are beautiful, incredible. Wow. And he went from being in the corporate world. Now he has quit his job, and he is a full-time happiness ambassador. So he speaks, and he teaches, and he's written a book called The Blueprint to Happiness. Blueprint to Happy, sorry. And there's a little bit of tragedy mixed up in that story, too, because at the same time he was flourishing and hitting all these high notes, his sister, who had struggled with depression and all kinds of issues, unfortunately took her own life. And that is one of the realities of, you know, what we're dealing with in the world. And we have to have these conversations, these frank conversations about mental health and about isolation. And I think inspiring stories like this help us to, like, figure out how to bridge those, you know, just be brave with each other and have conversations, you know, which leads into Anna.
I mean, May is Mental Health
it
Month.
Is.
May yes. is Mental Health Month. And, you know, I believe that this issue is so honest and so uplifting.
Thank
so
you.
Let's get to Anna Hummel, who has a radio show and is our producer. Anna.
I'm on a mic.
Hi.
Hi, how are
Hi.
You?
Hi.
So tell us, Anna,
yes.
why don't you start? Tell
Sorry,
us about
I'm just trying
your
to get
story.
The levels right. Basically, it was let go of a position that I really enjoyed last year. And it kind of threw me into a journey I didn't really want to experience, but was kind of forced into. And that is, you know, we identify ourselves in a lot of ways in terms of brother, husband, wife, friend, whatever. But this attachment we have to what we do oftentimes, I didn't realize how deep that went until it was gone. And so if you are, you know, for me, I was on the radio. And then once that was taken away, you know, I didn't really know how to define myself anymore. And that led to a journey, a very trying journey of a lot of discovery. And it was extremely challenging, but it forced me to kind of, it was an ego check.
Mm-hmm.
And I decided to, the article talks about my journey and discovery of Buddhism and the wisdom that those old traditions have. And essentially I learned that it was my attachment to my ego that was killing me. It really wasn't anybody else's expectation. You know, my parents were very supportive and all that stuff. And like, you're going to get through this. But I was very hard on myself. And my ego was screaming. You know, and I probably would have done, if I was offered a job in, God, a place I would not want to live, I probably would have taken it just to satisfy, to quell that ego that was screaming at me. So learned how to kind of define myself outside of what I do. And I think that is important for any sort of professional, that you are not what you do. Mm-hmm. It's just you are you and you happen to do this job. And there's more to you than what you do.
Absolutely. And the great thing about, you know, we went back and forth and we had a few conversations around editing and talking about how to tell the story. And I did that with each of the folks that are in this issue, because the stories are so personal,
mm-hmm.
but especially with Anna's story, it's also so universal.
Yeah.
So there are so many people, and I said this to you before when I walked in, who've said to me since I've been taking the magazine around, this is my story. And I'm like,
yeah.
Well, it's actually hers, but I get what you're saying, because so many people are struggling with this identity issue and the idea of like the work being such a big part of what they are. And sometimes, like for me, before I took this job, I was like, maybe I'll never work in publishing again. As far as I was doing freelance, but I was like, maybe I'll never have a role anymore. You know, mm-hmm. like I won't lead anything anymore. And that was saddening. And then just one day the phone rang and it was Beth Ann. And, you know, that's a great story. But what is really funny is there in our finance column, towards the end of the book, we have a guy who shared with us, Sean Goodrich, who shared with us a story about his like 19, 20-year-old nephew,
mm-hmm.
who was freaking out because he hasn't made enough money. He hasn't become an internet sensation. And it's all these expectations that mm-hmm. we bundle, and we're starting to see it happen younger and younger.
Sure.
And he's trying to say, that's not important. You know, you need to start thinking about like putting money away for your future and just building a career and doing mm-hmm. the steps one by one. But we are all sort of like, really, deeply involved with this narrative of, where am I? I'm checking in all the time. I'm unhappy.
Am I hitting landmarks that I'm supposed to? And you constantly compare yourself
to people. Or am I failing?
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were so honest about, like, what I loved was your voice back and forth about, you know, like, okay, I have all of this. I'm not this. You know, this, why am I acting like this?
Yes.
But the reality is that's the conversation we all have inside of ourselves. And so you sharing that, I think, mm-hmm. is a really big embrace to so many people who are struggling with
yes.
it.
Yes. Yes. And it is... And maybe because I'm kind of an empath where I'm like, God, I have so much to be grateful for. You know, I don't live in a Yemen or something like that. And I have, you know, I'm in a beautiful relationship and I don't have cancer and I can walk and I can use my legs. And I'm trying to just get in that headspace of gratitude. But I was still miserable because I was tormenting myself because much like the, you know, the person's nephew that you were just referencing, you're like, I'm not where I should be.
Right.
You know, when you're an infant and a toddler, they expect you to hit all these like developmental landmarks. And I feel like when you get into your 20s and 30s, 40s, et cetera, you kind of feel like you should be hitting like financial ones or marriage or kids or buy your first house. And when you don't measure up to your own expectations, that's really what causes all of your strife. It's that gap between expectation and reality. That is really hard, that bridge right there.
Well, and I think the thing to keep in mind, and I think you do keep it in mind, but for a lot of people, is that's all changed too. All those paradigms have changed. What we believe success represents, what we the ladder we felt we needed to be on, the landmarks we needed to hit, or whatever it would be, the milestones, I think we're redefining right now in our culture what it means to be happy, what it means to be fulfilled, what it means to be well. And mm-hmm. that's the whole thing is like the ultimate goal is your wellness, whether that's mental wellness, your physical sure. health, your financial wellness, all those things add up. But it's an individual thing now. We should stop looking for the measuring stick mm-hmm. because that time is gone. We have surpassed that. And this honesty, you know, like the next person in line in these wonderful stories is Christy Lopez, who's this artist who I met, and what an like flower of a human being. When I met her, I thought, wow, she's so vibrant and interesting, and she's really caught fire here in the art scene. She did a wonderful mural last year as part of Shine, which is coming up again. Then when I sort of went online and just instead of being on the sidewalk snooping, I was online snooping and I was reading about her mental health issues and her struggle with different things. I thought, wow, this would make a great story. But again, it took a lot of coaxing and a lot of time to find the right way to tell this story. And what a brave, again, you know, like, I think one of the interesting things that's so hard for us to imagine is we all have some of this in us. We all have a little bit of OCD. We all have a little bit of
some
depression.
A lot.
and that's okay. And we need to talk about it. And we need to figure out what worked for somebody else so we can turn a key in our own life so we can turn the switch on. And that's what I was hoping the issue would do, is these narratives being about these wonderful people really open that dialogue.
I think, Nick, that your superpower, and I've watched St. Pete Life transform over and over again, your superpower is people trust you. They trust you with their stories. You display them in such a way that you – I've gone back and reread my issue four or five times because your ability to tell the story, edit the story, and pull the person out. I mean, this is a superpower.
Well, and it's funny, you just turned the page to Lauren Hubbard, who has an amazing non-for-profit here that's focused on leadership and kids. And she's, again, super vibrant. I first met her when she was involved with Historic Kenwood, and she was leading that organization as a volunteer leader. And we had a lot of fun, and I thought, wow, she's so interesting. And I'd see her at events, and we'd start talking, and I'd get little pieces of her story, but she was very stingy with giving me giving me the story. And then things all changed for her, and she found herself in a situation of she was getting a divorce. She wanted to get out of Historic Kenwood, not because she didn't love the area, but because she wanted to do something that would set her free and give her experiences, which in her mind was buy a boat, learn to sail, and she and her daughter, Monty, get out there and then really fully engage with the charity and really figure out where she wanted to be in the community as a leader. And when the article came out, she called me and she was sitting in front of the water and she said, I'm sitting here and she said, I'm just in tears because I don't know if I told you my story this way or if you somehow put it together and intuited it, but I feel like it's just perfect. It's exactly my story. And that's the responsibility, I think, that comes with being an editor is, yes, it really did come from her. We had a bunch of conversations, and I knew her for a long period of time. And then you go back and you listen to those conversations over and over again. You're like, there's something missing here. I need to find it. So I have another conversation with her, or I go on her social media. And often we'll pull things from social media because I think it's one of the places you're very honest and you're unedited. So you're not rehearsing it in your mind. You're just sort of in the moment sometimes putting that stuff up. For better or
for worse.
For better or for worse, yes. But that's great because it's honest. But it was a great experience to have, and that's what I always look for.
So I want to say that she's the founder and CEO of All the World's Kids, Inc. And actually, Joe Bordeaux, who is our general manager, just did 5 fabulous females from Academy Prep Center of St. Petersburg. And they are taking students in June,
yes,
right, on the first global trip.
Yes.
And so, you know, she is... you think I know people. You have met more people and told more stories in your short time that you've been here. So let's move on to someone that, first of all, a story by Brandi Stark, one of our favorite people and a frequent guest here.
What a fun gal Brandi is. She had a little accident and is laid up at home. She was what is that? Hoverboard? Not hoverboarding.
Was it the electric scooter?
Scooter, I think, or something. Yeah. And she fell off, and so she's
the ghost died. Did it.
No, the ghost.
She's
it.
the spirits of St. Pete.
She is the spirits of St. Pete.
Right. Well, tell us about this wonderful woman, Stephanie Morge, that she's written about.
So Stephanie is someone, again, very early on in my time here, she sort of registered on my radar because I'd see her at events, I'd see photos of her at everything, and I think, how is she so ever present? And she's always like in a very positive frame, and she was always like on the board of something or volunteering for something. And I'll tell you what, she's a totally inspiring human. We had lunch probably 4 or 5 months ago and just sat at Urban Uptown Eats and had a chat, and I thought, what a charming, lovely person, but she's so determined to make a difference in our community. And she's not from the community originally, which I think is even more, you know, says it's more to her testament. It's a great thing. But she invests in things she wants to be a part of, and she makes herself a really active player. And we need more of that. You know, I volunteer a little bit, but compared to this, I hope it inspires people to want to go out and engage more in these ways.
And the value of volunteering is really highlighted. Of course, she is vice chair of the CASA Board of Directors. And, you know, again, the images. Let's just talk about a magazine that mixes beautiful art with eloquent stories. You have used art and photos, when it's like a gallery, and you really get to know the person, you know, in different settings. A serious one, this one, I love the one of the mural. Did you take that one?
We did not. So the great thing about the community is there's so many talented photographers here and so many creators and people just with a phone that are talented in that way. So like we first take an inventory and say, so this is your story, and with Anna, she can testify to this. We just use a photo of you, a portrait of you for that story that you already had. And so I'll look, and if it's on tone and on brand with what we have, then we'll use it. With someone like Lauren Hubbard, because this was a new period of her life and it was all about the boat and, you know, not and the charity, but, you know, she suggested, why don't we do a photo shoot and we'll go out on the boat? Well, it was fun, but I also wound up being very sick when they put me down below and we were hitting these like crazy, chop. And they were like, can you go down below? I was like,
hey,
oh.
Popeye.
And then all this stuff is like flying at me. It's so funny. You're the second person to call me Popeye in like a week. I don't know what it is. Maybe I should shave my head. But yeah, no. So we want to mix it and we want to do more photography, but I'll tell you what, it's been... there's a wealth of great stuff out there, and we just have taken advantage of it. And like you said, the thing about a gallery or a museum is they give you wall space to see something and enjoy it. And that's what we're trying to do with the magazine, is I keep trying to open the space up. So when people send me articles that are too long, I really struggle to cut them down because...
Yes, I'm guilty.
Everybody's guilty. I get all I get is these huge long. I mean, Anna's was really long.
Yeah. And then you kept asking me follow up questions. I'm like, do I need to write more? And then you're like, no, this is too long.
That's what I'm looking for, like those little bridging pieces.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yeah.
So my favorite girl, Helen Freund, what a wonderful person, savoring the scene. And what I love is that you've got these round photos that look like plates.
Yeah.
Like I just want to grab that. Was that a martini?
Oh, I think so, yeah.
All right, talk to us about this. Great interview.
So, you know, I'm a big dog of a human being, and the fact that I run up to everybody and I want to be friends. And most of the media here has not embraced me in that way. They're a little shy about getting involved. You, on the other hand, embraced me right from the start.
Not shy.
And you have been like my biggest cheerleader and my greatest friend in the media here. But
And Anna,
yes. But that came through that relationship.
Right.
Absolutely. So I've reached out to a lot of media folks here and said, we should do a story. And they kind of turn away. But Helen immediately said, I'm on vacation, I'm away, but yes, let's do it. And I thought, wow, I just got like the jewel in my crown because I don't know anything about the restaurants here. And here's the expert of all experts that's going to tell me every favorite place. Now, this is my to-do list for the next few months. I have not been to many of
these. We volunteer. We love to eat. And honestly, we got to go to Wild Child.
Yes. We volunteer as sacrifice. Is that what she says in Hunger Games? As tribute.
I think so, yeah.
No, my family says, and after we have a meal, and until our next meal.
Yeah.
Right? That'll be our motto, Anna. All right, so what was Helen is very interesting, by the way.
She is. She's lovely. And again, great energy, and a real person, like just well-rounded and funny. And, you know, I think we started out in talking about the fact that she doesn't just do restaurant reviews. She does these big pieces, these investigative pieces as well. And it's a whole conversation that she's having with the community, and it's an important one. And, you know, one of the things I like about her is she's not penitentiary. I think I'm getting that word wrong.
Pedantic.
No. Not punishing about the way that she reviews things.
So right.
She really looks for the positive, and if she can't say something positive, maybe she just doesn't review that place or whatever. But she's also super passionate about it.
I love that she loves Julie and Julia and Blood, Bones, and Butter by Gabriel Hamilton.
I mean, that just shows. I don't know
it
that.
It is wonderful. But I'll tell you what I love about her and Laura Riley and the fact that she made this. I love when you get insight into someone who is not very transparent from their reviews. You don't see Helen in her stories. Now I see Helen. Now I understand Helen. And loving this photo of her, just sort of gracious. You know, it used to be you would hang the picture of the restaurant critic, right? And they would go in, who was the woman from New York? And she would have Gail Green. Would have a hat and makeup and a fake nose. She's just there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But again, I think that's part of that approach that she has, that gentle, beautiful energy she brings to it.
Well, folks, if you've just tuned in, that gentle energy that we are hearing is for our man of steel, Nick Steele, the executive editor of St. Pete Life magazine. Before we let you go, just tell us what's coming up next in the July-August issue, which is your anniversary issue.
It is. Good for you for knowing. Eight.
Oh, my God.
Eight years.
We're going to have a party?
We are going to have a party.
I'll come to this one. I can't wait.
Our wonderful friends at Compass Land and Title.
Phil Yost.
Phil and Valerie, yep. They are sponsoring our Best Of party this year, which is our first ever. So we are hard at work on our Best Of issue right now. So people are getting emails from me saying, hey, you've been nominated and time to vote. And we're going to highlight all those people. It's the most we've ever had or done. It's double or triple the size of what we've done in the past. And it's all generated by the readers. So it's all community-based nominations.
Well, Nick, it is always a pleasure to have you in studio monthly. We thank you very much for being here. How can people find St. Pete Life online? And what is your Facebook?
So stpetelifemag.com is our URL. You can also find us on Issue. And our Facebook is St. Pete Life Mag as well. And you can also, if you're in the local area, you can find us at Tumbelow Books. You can find us at Book and Bottle and the St. Pete Store. And as I said, vote now on our website for the Best Of.
Thank you, Nick, for being here. And aloha until we see each other again.
Absolutely. Thank you.